Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whomever Allah wills good for, he gives him understanding in deen. And indeed, I am only a distributor. And Allah, he gives. This is a narration by Bukhari and also Muslim. As we are starting the Dars of Hadith, inshallah, every Wednesday, I thought we go through the Hadith of Ilm. Because Ilm is the first step. So it's important to remind ourselves about the importance of the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usually people confuse between knowledge and skill. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he praised knowledge, he praised ilm. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also has praised ilm in many of his ahadith. Now, when we read these ahadith of ilm, then people try to apply it everywhere. So for example, I want to learn how to fix the carpet. Fixing the carpet and the floor, it is not everybody's job. You have to learn how to do that. Now, if I learn how to fix the carpet and the floor, is that ilm? Is that the ilm which is praised in the Quran? Is that the ilm which is praised in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For example, say, you want to paint. Not everybody can paint. And not everybody can paint very fast. If you give me a brush, I might take 1 month to paint the masjid. If you have somebody who is professional, he might do it in 1 day, he might do it in 1 week. Now learning how to paint, is that ilm? Is that the ilm which is praised in the Quran and which is praised by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is what we have to understand. There is no doubt that we are encouraged to learn skills which are necessary for life. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in the Quran that when he created Adam alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal, he taught him about life. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal taught him the names of everything. Adam alayhi salam, when he came down to earth, you know, he is looking at the water for the first time. He is looking at the plants for the first time. He is looking at so many things for the first time. But because Allah has already taught him, he was familiar. Okay, this is water. This is used for this purpose. This is soil. This is used for this purpose. This is how you sow a seed. This is how you plant a tree. This is how you look after a tree. This is. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he taught Adam alayhi salam all these things because this is necessary for survival. And as we go about in our life, there are many things we have to learn in order to be able to survive. These are skills for life. There is nothing wrong as long as you need something which is beneficial for yourself or for your community. There is nothing wrong. But the ilm which is praised in the Quran and the ilm which is praised in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we are going to read, is the ilm which is going to help us understand the requirements of Allah Azza wa Jal. The ilm which is praised is the knowledge which is going to lead us towards the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is the ilm which is going to lead us, which is going to facilitate the process for moving towards Jannah. That is the ilm which is praised and that is the ilm which is required. Unfortunately, people, when they talk about anything, they will read any ayah from the Quran and apply it anywhere. People read any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they try to implement it, any aspect of field, there is no doubt that anything which is beneficial for people, people can learn. But that is not the ilm which is praised. And that is not the ilm for which you have so many virtues. We are going to read so many virtues of ilm. But this is the ilm which is only going to lead us towards the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. No doubt there are hundreds of ahadith which talk about the virtue of ilm and the importance of ilm, but inshallah we will read few ahadith today. So this is the first narration by Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he is a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one of the leaders of Muslims. Among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were people who had various qualities. Human being has various qualities. So some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were good in learning the Quran. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were very good in poetry. Some Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were excellent in fighting, mastering the art of jihad. Some of Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were excellent in terms of negotiation. Some of Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were very good in keeping secrets. Not everybody can keep a secret. Some people, if you tell them something, next day it will be everywhere. It will be on the headline. The first thing is on the newspapers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to choose and pick people who are fit for the job. Some ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were very good for making judgments. Like they can listen to this person who has a dispute with this person, right? And then they can figure it out how to resolve the issue. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was very good in making judgments. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was very good and excellent in making judgments. So some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had qualities. Sayyidina Mu'awiyah radiallahu anhu, certainly he also had some qualities, because of which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose him to be the writer of the Quran, to be the Qadib of Wahi. When the Quran was revealed to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as it is revealed, he would ask some companions to come and write it down. Not everybody was given the task. You know, even nowadays, if you have a business, for example, you don't make everybody a treasurer. Only people whom you trust, they know the secret of the business. Only the people whom you can rely upon, you choose them to be the treasurer. So writing the wahi and preserving the Quran is a big task and a big responsibility, which requires a lot of attention and it also requires a lot of trust. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave him this responsibility of writing the wahi. Obviously later on he became very much known for his politics, because Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu became the governor of Syria, governor of Damascus. And he was facing the Romans. So he had a big piece of land where he was ruling. And then slowly, slowly, that's how he developed into becoming Khalifa afterward. When Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, he surrendered the office of the Khilafah in the favor of Muawiyah, then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. But then, usually people know him as a great politician, radiallahu anhu, and a very powerful and a very well-organized person. But Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was also a katib of wahi. He was a katib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah wills good for, Allah gives him understanding of deen. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the giver. Allah is Al-Wahhab. Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives. And Allah gives everything. Allah Azza wa Jal has given life. Allah Azza wa Jal, He continues to give life. Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives so many gifts in our life. Some people are given certain gifts. Some people are given other gifts. Some people are given talents. Some people are given certain skills. This is the distribution of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. Allah knows where to keep His message. Allah Azza wa Jal, He did not make anybody a prophet. He chose people to become prophets alayhi wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He chose Sahaba to become the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not everybody can become a Sahabi. Now even people, if they wish, they cannot become a Sahabi. Even if you donate $1 million, you cannot become a Sahabi. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He chose people to become the Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives the best to the people who are the best. Because the best gift is the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the highest level of qurb Allah given to the prophets alayhimus salam. The best gift of Allah Azza wa Jal is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, is the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal has given that gift to the people whom He likes. Likewise, if Allah wants good for somebody, obviously Allah can give him anything. Allah can give him money, Allah can give him health, Allah can give him power, Allah can give him anything. But when Allah wants good for somebody, يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, Allah Azza wa Jal gives him understanding of deen. Because deen is the source of all the good. Deen is the source of all the inspiration. Deen is the essence of every good. If you have deen, you have everything. No deen, nothing. So people who want to know how much Allah is willing good for them, you know, if you, obviously we cannot judge other people. We don't have right to judge other people. What is between them and Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah knows. Everybody has his own circumstances. However, if I want to judge myself, what is happening with me? Where do I stand? In the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, where do I stand? How much Allah loves me? How much Allah wills good for me? How much Allah Azza wa Jal wants to give me from His treasures? Then I have to see how much understanding of deen I have. How much understanding of deen I am learning, I am gaining, I am developing, I am progressing. The more I gain the understanding of deen, the more I can hope that Allah is willing good for me. Because this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated by Imam Bukhari and also Imam Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. مَنْ يُرِذِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah wills good for, يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, Allah gives him understanding of deen. So the purpose of the hadith is not to say, well, you know, people who are given the understanding of deen, they are very lucky, they are very fortunate, mashallah. You say subhanallah, you praise, and then you walk out. Every hadith is there for us to see where do we stand in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. I have interest in water, okay, that is good. I have interest in painting, that is fine. I have interest in making cars, that is good. I have interest in making aeroplanes, that is good. There is nothing wrong with it. But how much interest I have in knowing Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much interest I have in knowing what is it that Allah likes. How much interest I have in knowing what is it that Allah wants from me in this life. If I ever care about Allah Azza wa Jal, then for sure I would care to know what is it that He wants. If I don't show any interest in knowing what it is that Allah wants, then that simply means that I don't care. No matter how much I praise myself, and no matter how much I consider myself to be a very good person, that is a claim I'm making for myself. But if I ever claim, if I ever care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I should care to know what is it that Allah wants from me. You apply for a job somewhere, you get the job, you're working for that company. Great. Now, do you want to know your role in the company? Do you want to know your responsibilities? Do you want to know what is it that your boss likes? What is it that he doesn't like? What is it, you know, that would please him? And what is it that would make him upset? Some people, they get irritated by small things. You know, small things you do, and you'll get irritated. And sometimes some people are fired for small reasons. In Japan, I read somewhere that if you are waiting, if you have a meeting, for example, some people arrive early, some people arrive late. Okay, you have arrived early. Even if you are a manager, you are expected to do something. It is not that you are sitting on the chair in the board meeting and waiting. So even if you are a manager, they would, you know, wipe the table. They would try to sort out something while they're waiting for the meeting. Because this is their culture. This is their hobby that they should be doing something productive. So if you are working for such a boss, for such a company, which likes to see the employees working all the time, then you are very careful. Otherwise you might be fired. Now, if you ever care to stay in that company, then for sure you would have the desire to know what is it that is expected from you. What is the expectation they have? What is the expectation the job requires? Likewise, as Muslims, we want to please Allah Azza wa Jal. That is great. But do we know what is it that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we know what is it that would make Allah Azza wa Jal happy with us? Do we have the desire to learn in knowing what is pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal? The more desire you have, the more you are likely to get the understanding of deen, and the more you are likely to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Having the desire in knowing the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is a sign that Allah wants something good for you. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. As long as you walk on this path, you're on the right track. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described himself, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. Indeed, I am only a distributor. All the treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is Allah who gives. It is Allah who gives ilm, it is Allah who gives hilm, it is Allah who gives wisdom. Obviously, the worldly treasures, it is Allah Azza wa Jal who gives. But how you are going to receive that ilm, that knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal? How you are going to receive that wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ. Indeed, I am only a distributor. The wisdom which Allah wants to give you, that will come through Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because any wisdom which is against his wisdom is not wisdom. إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ. I am the distributor. So anything which comes through him is authentic sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the market, sometimes even the brand items can be duplicate. Right? You can have a phone which looks like exactly like Apple phone. Unless it has the Apple logo, it is not authentic. It looks same, but because it did not come through the Apple distributor, it is not a real iPhone. You might take it for $50, for $70, but you're not willing to give $1,000. It is not worth. And if it becomes second hand, nobody would like to buy it. People say, well, just get rid of it, throw it in the bin. Innama ana qasimun. You have to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he is the distributor. So he is the distributor. If you want to get something, go to him. You want to get the knowledge, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to get the wisdom, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to learn anything which would concern you with regards to Akhirah, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to learn the practicalities of your life, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to learn how to implement that knowledge, again, that is also through Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to gain the deeper understanding of Deen, that is also through Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to understand the Quran, that is also Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because innama ana qasimun, he is the distributor sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who does the taqseem. And because he is Qasim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you want to know which is the fake knowledge and which is the real knowledge, which is the fake wisdom and which is the real wisdom. Because people have different criteria for good and bad. Some people would say, well, in my understanding this is good. Somebody would say, well, no, it should be this way, it should be that way. You gather 10 people, you'll have 10 opinions. How are you going to judge which is true and which is not? Which is real wisdom and which is fake wisdom? Not because it looks good, it has to be good. You go to the market, you'll have flowers. You have flowers which look very beautiful. I've been to IKEA recently. You have so many beautiful flowers, but they are made of paper. They are made of paper. Or they are made of plastic. They look good, but do they have the qualities of flower? Do they have the qualities of flower? No. Do they smell flower? Some plants, they can help you filter the air. Some plants, they can bring joy and happiness. Some plants, they can give nice smell. Some plants, they can help with lots of things. In fact, that is a very special field of knowledge. If you ever want to have any garden, for example, then you must learn the qualities of different plants and which plants are good to be indoors, which plants are to be good outdoors. Not everything which looks like a flower is a flower. Likewise, in terms of opinions, not every opinion which looks nice necessarily is nice. Not every opinion which looks great is necessarily great. In fact, if you look at the people who argue about various things in life, about morality, ethics, they can make a very nice argument. They can make a very nice argument for burning a dead body, for example. When somebody dies, rather than burying him, you should burn him. And if you talk to them, they can make a very nice argument. But how do you know if that argument has any strength? How do you know if that argument is a good one? What is the criteria? Well, compare that argument with the argument of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Compare that wisdom or that claimed wisdom, that perceived wisdom, assumed wisdom, compare it with the wisdom which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, with the wisdom which we have gained through the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Islamic tradition we know, ikramul mayyit dafnuhu, honoring a dead person is to bury him. Honoring a dead person is to bury him, even there is no difference between Muslim and non-Muslim. For some reason, if somebody dies, if a non-Muslim dies, he might be of any religion or he may not have any faith whatsoever. And there is nobody to look after him. There is nobody to do, you know, the last rituals. And only the Muslims are around. Are they supposed to just throw him away? Simply because he's not Muslim? Are they supposed to throw him in the ocean or in the river? No. Ikramul mayyidi dafnuhu. Even if that person is not Muslim, make a hole somewhere and bury him. What happens afterwards, that is between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. But because he is a human being, he has to be respected and honored. In fact, in the books of fiqh, we learn that if you have any part of the body detached from your body, then the best way to honor your body is to bury it. Obviously, nowadays, people are not very careful about these things, and nobody bothers. But if you look at the past, when people used to cut the nails, they used to keep the nails separate. When people used to trim the hair, they used to keep the trimmed hair separate so that they can bury it somewhere. Because everything has some connection. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. We have created you from the soil and we are going to return you back to the soil. Anyway, so إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِبٌ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the Qasim. Wallahu yu'ti, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the giver. Allah is there to give. And Allah gives all the time. But the more connection which you have with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more knowledge you will have. The more love you have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more understanding and of deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla you have. That's why the ulama who have produced a lot of work, who had a lot of influence in terms of having students or in terms of benefiting hundreds of people or thousands of people, you study their biography, you study their life, and you will find their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some time ago I was reading about Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Kandlavi rahimahullah. And everybody, when you have some time, you should read his autobiography, which is Abbiti, in two volumes. And alhamdulillah, it has been translated into English as well. So if you can read Urdu, then try to read in Urdu, which is very nice. But you need some patience. But anything valuable, it only comes with patience. And somehow, if you are not fluent in Urdu, ask somebody to read. If you can understand Urdu, then that is another way. Ask somebody to read it for you. So you sit down and listen to the reading. Why not? Enjoy the reading. And if you don't find anybody who can read the Urdu for you, well, you have a translation in English. So when you read the biography of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Kandlavi rahimahullah, you will be amazed about his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the time, that is expressed in many, many places, in many, many incidents, through many, many ways, his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he spent his last days, his last years, and obviously before his last time as well, many, many years he spent in Medina. So when he used to be in Medina, obviously people used to write letters to him. Somebody is asking a question, somebody asking for advice, somebody needs some help. And many ulama, they used to have correspondence with him to find out about any books, for example. Or if they have written any book, they will send the books to get his verification, authentication, etc. So when he used to be in Medina, if somebody writes a letter, then he would expect him to write at the end of the letter that, please give my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he would not write that, then when he would reply, he would say, how come you know that I am in Medina and you don't send salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, it is like you are sending a letter to your father, for example. Obviously, you'd have salam for your mom as well. You'd have salam for your brothers and sisters. If you are sending a letter to your mom, you have salam for your dad. If you are sending salam, for somebody, then you will also mention. So somebody is in Medina, you are calling him. Like nowadays, lots of people, they have relatives in Medina, for example. Or they have relatives in Jeddah. They have relatives in Makkah. They have relatives in Riyadh, right? You call them now, it's easy. People call on various devices. You have lots of apps. Some of them are free. Okay, you talk for half an hour. But you don't realize that they are next to Medina. If they are not in Medina, they are not far away from Medina. And usually people, obviously nowadays, you have some restriction in terms of Umrah and Ziyara. But in the past, there was no restriction. So you don't realize that they live, 100 miles from Medina, they live 200 miles, they live 500 miles from Medina, no problem. They might go to Medina after a month, after 2 months, after 3 months, when they have holidays for Umrah, for Ramadan, their Eid, whatever. So you don't realize to ask them to give your salam for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many people they do that? So, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah, he used to be very particular. If somebody writes a letter and he does not mention, please offer my salam to the most beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, you should have done that. Please, next time, don't forget. Next time, don't forget to ask for that salam. Because that is respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, if you are there, you would give salam yourself. But you are communicating with somebody who is there, that is the haqq, that is the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti. Indeed, I am a distributor. And Allah gives. Allah gives. But if you want to gain from Allah Azza wa Jal, then you have to come through the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us understanding of deen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us from His treasures of knowledge and wisdom. And may Allah Azza wa Jal increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.